Dr. Orr, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. So, Catherine, what exactly is grey matter of the brain?
So the grey matter of the brain is the cortex, so the cell bodies in the brain, and the subcortical structures in the brain, so structures like the amygdala, which are important for fear processing and threat processing and emotion, the hippocampus, which is vitally important for memory formation, and the nucleus accumbens, which is a part of the brain responsible for feelings of reward and euphoria. That's particularly interesting to people like me who study substance use and addiction.
And did the increased grey matter of the brain contribute to any differences in behaviour for those affected?
So it's difficult to say conclusively. This is a small study. We studied 46 14-year-olds who reported using cannabis just once or twice, and 46 of their peers who reported never having used the drug. So it's difficult to say conclusively whether any differences we observe are actually caused by the grey matter volume differences associated with cannabis use. In this particular group of teenagers, what we did note is that in the teenagers who reported using cannabis once or twice, the amount of grey matter in the affected regions was associated with differences in perceptual reasoning and in psychomotor speed and in anxiety.
Right. Well, were there potentially any genetic differences between participants which increases the effects of cannabis use for some participants?
That's a fantastic question, and that's actually what I'm looking at the moment in the study I'm working on at the moment. So within the 46 teenagers who used cannabis, there was a lot of variation in the effects. So some of the teenagers had grey matter volumes equivalent to their cannabis-naive peers, whereas other members of that sample, so other teenagers who'd reported using cannabis once or twice, had quite marked increases in the grey matter relative to the people who hadn't used. And so what we're doing now is trying to find out what it might be that seems to cause that individual difference in vulnerability to the brain effects, and the primary candidate that we're looking at is genetic differences.
Right. If you've just joined us on The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Dr. Catherine Orr of Swinburne University, discussing her team's recent study into the effects of a single use of cannabis, what it can have on the development of an adolescent brain. So, Dr. Orr, it is only cannabis that had been found to contribute to the grey matter increase in the brain?
So one of the things that we were able to do in this study was we were able to study 14-year-olds who reported using low levels of cannabis and no other illicit substances. So they weren't using cocaine or any other illicit substances. And what we were also able to do is in the groups that we were comparing, we were able to match up the cannabis users with peers who hadn't used cannabis but had used the same amount of alcohol and nicotine as the cannabis users. So as to the best extent that we possibly can, we can say that the effects we're seeing are associated with cannabis use rather than being associated with alcohol use, nicotine use, or comorbid use of other illicit substances.
And where does this research go from here?
So what we're doing now is trying to identify what might cause individual variation in vulnerability to the brain volume effects. We're also studying more extensive patterns of substance use, so teens who have used 4, 5, up to 10, who are reporting up to 10 instances of cannabis use rather than focusing on those very early initial stages. And a longer term project is to try to identify what might make people vulnerable from transitioning from a period of kind of recreational use, experimentation, which is pretty normal in the teenage years, what might make some people more vulnerable to transitioning then to a more problematic pattern of use, so substance use or dependence.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see where your research goes from here. Well, Dr. Orr, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.